today on Revival Radio with Pastor John Miller.
Let that little white flag go up and say, God, I surrender. The war is over. I love you and I want you to come into my heart, forgive my sins, be my Savior. Basically, you surrender to Him and you have salvation. But the peace of God is something altogether different. After being a Christian, it's actually the peace of God ruling in your heart, and it's the experience. So the peace with God is your standing or your position, and the peace of God is your practice or your experience.
Everyone wants peace. From yard signs saying visualize world peace, to peace within your own household, to just be nice to each other. Peace is a universal aspiration. But what actually is peace? Today, Pastor John explains two kinds of peace related to God. First, you can have peace with God through faith in Christ. Then, you can have the peace of God through practicing His directions for life given in His Word. And these are not difficult. Surrender your concerns, pray about everything. Now, let's join Pastor John in the book of Philippians chapter 4 as he begins his message, A Prescription for Peace.
Verse 6 of Philippians 4, be careful for nothing. King James, but it actually means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, there's our word, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, there's our theme, which passes all understanding, shall keep, means to guard or to garrison, our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. If anyone had cause to worry, it was the Apostle Paul. Paul was in prison in chains. Now, I don't know about you, but if I were in prison and I were in chains, I would be a bit worried. I spent one night, this is my BC days, okay? I don't usually confess this stuff. But I spent one night in juvenile hall. I'm a jailbird or something, whatever you call it. Hard time I did, you know. One night in juvenile hall, but that one night in juvenile hall is what turned my life around and sent me on a different trajectory. And I knew my need of Jesus was great, and I turned to Jesus Christ and He changed my life. And today I'm the pastor of Revival Christian Fellowship. Amen. For which I might add, I am grateful that I went just to juvenile hall and not to a state penitentiary somewhere. But Paul was in prison not because he did something wrong or broke the law, but because he was preaching the gospel. And his beloved church at Philippi was being divided by false teachers. In chapter 3, he said, beware of the concision, beware of the evil workers, the Judaizers, they're called, who try to draw people away from the simplicity that is in Christ and bring them back under bondage. And I'm sure that that tormented Paul's heart more than the chains on his wrist, that the church that he loved in Philippi was being taken over by false teachers, and he was concerned about the problems that were there. But Paul in Philippians does not fear. He doesn't worry. He isn't fretting. He is full of joy and rejoicing. This little short epistle with four chapters has as its main theme, joy in the Lord. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. About 19 times the word joy or rejoice is found in these four short chapters of the book of Philippians. So Paul is experiencing, verse 7, I want you to notice it, the peace of God. Now, there's a difference between peace with God and the peace of God. Now, I know I've explained them before, but just a reminder, when you become a Christian, when you are born again, you have peace with God. The Bible tells us that in Romans chapter 5, there was peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, before you are converted, you are at war with God. The Bible actually says you're an enemy of God. You're fighting with God. And so when you become a Christian, a little white flag goes up, metaphorically speaking, in your heart, and you surrender to God. And that's what happens. You then have peace with God. One of the reasons why we don't have peace in our hearts is because we're not at peace with God. When we get right with God, then all of life can come into harmony. Until we're right vertically with God, we cannot be right horizontally with others. So if there's no peace in your heart, it might be that you just need to surrender to God. Let that little white flag go up and say, God, I surrender. The war is over. I love you and I want you to come into my heart, forgive my sins, be my Savior. Basically, you surrender to Him and you have salvation. But the peace of God is something altogether different. After being a Christian, it's actually the peace of God ruling in your heart, and it's the experience. So the peace with God is your standing or your position, and the peace of God is your practice or your experience. D.L. Moody said it like this. He said, a little faith will bring your soul to heaven, but a lot of faith will bring heaven to your soul. So it takes just a little faith in a great Savior, Jesus Christ, to get to go to heaven. But if you want to have peace in your soul, you need to trust God, and it brings heaven down to your soul right now. So the peace that Paul is speaking of in verse 7 is not peace with God, that's salvation, but the peace of God, that's the life of sanctification, of walking in fellowship with Him and having His peace. Now, how do I get this peace of God? First of all, in verse 6, write this down, we're not to worry about anything. Notice he says, be careful for nothing. Again, I'm reading from the King James translation, but I certainly love the Living Translation there where it has, don't worry about anything. I love that. Don't worry about anything. I want you to know that this is what's called an imperative in the Greek, and it's what's called a present active. It means that we continually, habitually are not to worry. So worry is disobedience to God. We're not to be worry. Now, the word careful in the King James translation is a word that literally means to be pulled in different directions. And that's what really worry is. It means that we're pulled in different, our hopes pull us in one direction and our fears pull us in another direction. We're literally being torn apart is what it means. The word worry also has the idea to strangle. And we know that it does strangle us, and you can get all kinds of physical problems and ulcers because we worry and we are fretting. So here's a direct command, and it's an ongoing, continual thing that we are not to worry. Worry involves two things. In verse 7, it involves our hearts and our minds. Our hearts are all about what we feel, our emotions. And many times our emotions take control of us. And then our minds is what we think. And many times our thoughts take control of us. Our thoughts go places that they ought not to go. And we need to be careful. You know, you need to think about what you think about. You ever think about that? We need to think about what we think about. Sometimes I catch myself and I say, you know what? That's not a good thing to think about. Lord, forgive me. Cleanse my mind. Help me to set it upon you. Help me to reject those fears and those doubts, and help me to reject those negative feelings, and help me to trust you and to look to you and to put my hope in you. If we're going to have God's peace, we need to know how to deal with worry. Jesus talked about worry, write it down in chapter 6 of Matthew. And he basically said there again, if we're his people, that we're not to worry about three things, about things of necessity of life, what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink, and what you're going to wear. But Jesus says, look, don't think about these necessary things of life. And then he encourages us, he says, you know, your Father feeds the birds, and that you're more valuable than the birds. You're more valuable than many sparrows. So God takes care of the birds. He will take care of you. I took a walk this morning, went out into the open countryside and looking at the storm coming in and just breathing the fresh air. And I saw these hawks flying around. And I thought about that promise that, you know, God, you take care of the birds, you'll take care of me. That I don't need to worry. I don't need to fret. That if you see every sparrow, not one sparrow falls, but what God sees it, that God knows, and He'll take care of me. Second thing I don't need to worry about are the things that I cannot change. You know, there's so much that we don't have any control over. Why worry about what you cannot control? Jesus said like this. He goes, which of you by worrying can add 1 inch to your height? Oh, I'm such a shorty. Oh, I wish I were taller. Oh, I wish my hair were a different color. Oh, I wish I did, you know, I wish this. And things that you don't have any control over. So why are you worrying about them? Why are you fretting about things you can't control? Many times we can't control other people's actions. And why do we worry about that? And then third thing he said not to worry about, and this is so important, don't worry about tomorrow. So many of our worries are about tomorrow. And many times when we get to tomorrow, the worries aren't even there. They have evaporated. And we're thinking, why did I waste my time freaking out? And that it wasn't even an issue. God took care of the problem. So you're not to worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of the things of itself. Sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. So we pray, give us this day our what? Daily bread. God has promised you strength for the day. It's only when you take tomorrow's problems and you put them on today that you become burdened and weighted down and filled with care. And we need to roll our burden upon the Lord and know that He will sustain us. So step number one is don't worry about anything, and God will give you the strength to do that. Here's step number two to experience God's peace. Pray about everything. Notice it in verse 6. He says, don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Now, when I first got saved, I read the Living Bible by Kenneth Taylor. And I love the way he translates this, or paraphrases actually this. He paraphrases this, don't worry about anything, instead, pray about everything. And you can put that to memory real easily, by the way. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Almost sounds like the words to a song, doesn't it? Maybe you can put a little tune to it and sing it as you're going down the highway. Don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Paul's solution for worry is prayer. Now, notice he says, pray about everything. Everything. Nothing is too great for His power, and nothing is too small for His providential care. I love that. You know, there's no problem too big, but what God can take care of it. No cancer too great, no sickness, no problems financially, emotionally, no marital problems, no issues that God in heaven can't take care of. I don't know what people who aren't Christians do. Who are they thankful to? They say they're thankful to who? We're thankful to God because from Him all blessings flow. Amen? He's the Father of lights and gives all of us good things. But He is all powerful. He is all wise. He is all present. Everywhere we go, God is there. He is all loving and all gracious and all merciful and all kind. But nothing is too hard for God. With God, all things are possible. We can trust Him and hope in Him. How important that is. And nothing is too small. Nothing is too menial. You know that God cares about every area of your life? Every aspect of your life. You can pray about everything. God's not going to go, I can't believe you're asking me to help there. You know, a loving father loves to have his kids come to him with their needs and with their problems. And no loving father would actually push a child away when it comes in a time of need. You know that God's ear is always open to the cries of His children. His arms are not short that He cannot save. I don't know what you need. I don't know what your problems are, but God loves you and He cares about you and He wants to take care of them if you'll turn to Him and trust in Him and pray. Now, I want you to note that Paul doesn't just say, pray about it. We do that sometimes. People come to us with our problems. We go, just pray about it. And you feel like punching them in the nose. I'll give you something to pray about. So Paul actually breaks it down for us. And there's some things we can learn about prayer here. Let me point out three ways that we should pray if we're going to experience God's peace. We need to pray, first of all, with adoration. Notice that in verse 6, the word prayer in verse 6 is an interesting Greek word that has the idea of worship or adoration or veneration. It's not just the word prayer, it's the idea of praise and worship and adoration. Remember when Jesus gave us the pattern for prayer, we often called the Lord's Prayer? How did he start that pattern for prayer? We pray, Our Father, which is our Abba, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So before any petitions, there is praise. So if you want to get your heart right with God and in tune with God through prayer, and you want to experience God's peace, you start out by praising the Lord and worshiping the Lord and thanking the Lord and glorifying the Lord for all of who He is. That's what praise is really. It's about magnifying God for who He is, not asking God to give us anything, but praising God for who He is. As we worship the Lord, are you thanking Him for who He is, not for what He gives, but just for the fact that He is God? So we pray specifically with adoration. Then secondly, we need to pray with supplication. Notice it there again in verse 6, prayer and supplication. Again, in the Living Bible, the paraphrase is, don't forget to mention your needs or tell God your needs. So you don't worry about anything, pray about everything, tell God your needs. And what a wonderful thing that is to come before God and lay out your petitions and your supplication. Supplication is usually praying for one's felt needs and praying fervently and very emotionally. When Jesus was in Gethsemane, He was in supplication for Himself. But then notice thirdly, we pray with appreciation. So we use adoration, supplication, and appreciation. And again, let me quote the Living Bible, verse 6. Don't forget to thank Him for His answer. So this is how Kenneth Taylor has paraphrased verse 6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. Adoration. We're to be thanking Him. We're to be praying with appreciation and supplication. What a beautiful thing that is. Jesus healed 10 lepers as He was passing through Samaria. He healed 10 lepers and He told them to go and to show themselves to the priest. And as they took off and they saw they were healed, out of the 10, only one turned and went back to Jesus and said what? Said, thank you. And Jesus was kind of startled for a bit. He said, were there not 10? Weren't there 10? And there's only one that has come back to say thank you. Sometimes I wonder if in the church, the family of God, is sometimes the ratio isn't the same. Only one out of 10 really get up daily and say, Lord, thank you for saving my soul. Thank you for making me whole. Thank you for giving to me this great salvation so rich and full and free. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my children. Thank you for my grandkids. Thank you for the church. Thank you for my job. Thank you for my health. Thank you for all your blessings that you have given to me. We need to be thankful. Write down 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. What does Paul say? In everything, give thanks. Amen? Not for everything, but in everything. And I know that's hard. We have our idea about how we want life to be smooth sailing, no bumps in the road. But in everything, we can thank the Lord that He's in control, that He knows what's going on. So here's the steps to the peace of God. Be careful for nothing. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs, supplication, and don't forget to thank Him for His answers. You make your requests known unto God. And I want you to notice in verse 7 now in closing, the provision, the results, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, is going to do something. It's going to keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 7 is the result or the consequence of doing what is commanded in verse 6. You put verse 6 into shoe leather and activate it in your life. Verse 7, the promise will be yours that God will give you His peace. So don't worry about anything. Pray about everything. Tell God your needs and thank Him for His answers. And if you do that, you will experience God's peace, the blessing. I think it's important that we thank God for many blessings, but think about being thankful to God for His peace. Thankful God that I have peace with you, and thankful God that I have the peace of God in my heart and in my soul. Now, notice a couple things about this peace of God. It transcends all understanding. Notice at verse 7. It passes all understanding. In other words, you can't figure it out. You can't understand it. You can't comprehend it. It's a transcendent peace. And people looking on will wonder, how can you be so peaceful? How can you be so calm? Because I know that God is in control. When you're passing through the fire, God goes with you. When you're passing through the valley of deepest darkness, God is with you. So you have this peace in your soul, in your heart. Jesus gave us a legacy of His peace. John 14, verse 27, He says, "My peace I give unto you." It's not like the peace the world gives. You know, you can go to a drugstore and you can buy sleep, but you can't find rest. And you certainly can't buy peace for your soul. There's no peace for the wicked. They're like the waves of the sea, always driven with the wind and tossed. But there is rest and peace for those who come to faith in Jesus Christ and trust in Him. Notice the second thing about this peace in verse 7. It guards our hearts and our minds. So number one, it transcends all understanding. And number two, it guards our hearts and our minds. Now, I love that phrase, guards our hearts and our minds. That word guards is a military word. And it literally means to guard or to garrison. It means that God builds a fortress around our minds and around our emotions. And Satan tries to come and assail us and attack us and come against us. There's a wall around us, a fortress, and that wall and that fortress is God's peace. So like a military garrison around my mind and around my heart, God is there to protect me from the attacks of the enemy and from worry and from fear. I love the story of Daniel when he was thrown in the lion's den. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been freaking out. You would have been freaking out. Don't laugh. Thrown into a den of lions? That would have been a frightening thing. But you know, in Daniel chapter 6, it actually tells us what Daniel was doing before he was thrown into the lion's den. It says that he prayed, gave thanks before God, and made supplication. Isn't that cool? He wasn't freaking out, screaming and yelling, and running for his life. He was praying, thanking God, and making supplication. And I believe that Daniel slept perfectly in that lion's den. I believe he actually had a big lion for a pillow that night.
Today, Pastor John differentiated peace with God, which comes through faith in Jesus Christ, and the peace of God, which comes through following His Word. First, don't worry about anything. Not the necessities of life, God has those. Not the things you can't control, God has those too. And don't take tomorrow's problems and add them to today. Instead, pray in three ways: with adoration, with supplication, and with appreciation.
Thanks for listening to Revival Radio today. If you live in the Southern California area, I'd love to meet you personally. We have Bible study and fellowship on Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. Find out about our church in Menifee, California. Check out our website, revival.tv, for service times and directions. Love to see you there.
The data is in. The social media feeds that we follow are the ones that matter the most to us. We know that Revival Radio is a big part of your discipleship, and we're so thankful for the opportunity to serve you. Have you checked out our social media pages? Revival.tv is the place to find all the links. That's Revival.tv.
Pastor John's message today was for all Christians. All of us are God's people. But did you know that in New Testament times, there were God's people and there were those who were not God's people? These were the Gentiles, and they were separated from the Jews. But God sent Christ to be His peace to the two peoples and make them into one. As a Christian, whatever your ancestry, you are a member of God's people. Thanks for joining Pastor John today. And we hope you'll tune in again, right here on Revival Radio.